going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's just like fine wine. I would take Mike Trout in a heartbeat on the Giants. But the Warriors winning game one the way they did, leaving just enough of the adjustments on the table that they needed. Like, dude, they're sitting pretty. Here's what I would say to you, Joe.
How could you not be so damn confident waking up this morning?
Like, if it was a 1% chance, 1% chance that I thought that they could sweep this series going into it, right? Let's just say, hypothetically, you're talking confidence level. I'm at like a 72% chance that they could sweep this. You know why? You won game one the way you did, and I know you can play better, and I know that you can kind of clean some of those things up. I'm not sure where Houston's going to get reliable scoring output from if you're going to be in consistent zones.
You're asking that Houston Rockets team to outscore the Warriors for four games to win this series? It's just not happening. You have Jimmy Butler, you have Stephen Curry, and they don't. God love the guy, as he's trying, as Reggie Miller put it on the broadcast last night. Fred VanVleet is not going to happen. There was a moment of the game yesterday, real quick. I'm going back to the Reggie Miller commentary because it just made me laugh in the third quarter. You know, the Rockets are really going to have to lean on these two guys in the series, that being Steven Adams and Fred VanVleet offensively. I was like, excuse me? You're relying on Fred VanVleet and Steven Adams offensively to win you this series? Yeah, that's all I need to know about it.
Well, I guess also, like, the calendar matters in this one. The Warriors are one of the oldest teams left, right? We all acknowledge that, even though they've got some young guys.
Jimmy Butler acknowledged it after the game. They got a lot of old guys, but they feel great.
So you got Tuesday was their game, their last game. They got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You played Sunday night, all right? They clearly looked better with the rest. We all can acknowledge. Now you get Monday off, Tuesday off, a game on Wednesday. If this game was on Monday night, like as in tonight, back-to-back, I'd be petrified. I'd be like, yeah, this is playing right into Houston's hands. They get to get the taste out of their mouth right away, no doubt about it. You've got multiple days to recalibrate, and then you get to come home and you get another couple of days. Not just your normal one day off, one day game. You get 2 days off in between both of these next two games. And, yeah, I think it could be 3-0 if they handle business.
And because, I didn't mean to cut you off there, you're on fire. And because they're Stephen Curry and Jimmy Butler and the Golden State Warriors, they're all playing at night. So you got that whole day to rest and recover. And
Dre's got to play better.
You see, again, and I didn't think he played horribly. I didn't think he played horribly. I thought, like, the interior defense that Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, all these guys, Moses Moody at times, whomever, I thought they were incredible. I know Şengün got his, and he's going to. Like, that's baked into the equation.
Yeah, but we're treating him like Mozgov, which I kind of love.
Exactly.
Meaning, or you Sabonis. Get whatever you want.
Or Sabonis, right?
Yeah, and we're just going to run circles around you.
Exactly, because, again, they said it. He's like, oh, the outside shot, Şengün could do it. He shot twice yesterday. Honestly, they may have them. He might need to shoot more from the outside, the three-point shot, which sounds like insane, because he was getting his in the interior. But they can't shoot the three ball. 6 of 29. For the Rockets yesterday.
Well, VanVleet will have a game. No, he will.
Maybe. My guy was... looked like Greedo out there trying to shoot Han Solo.
I mean, Dylan Brooks trying to back down Steph. Like, if that's their offense, like, you're playing right into our hands.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, right? KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. I agree. And Odyssey Sports Station, always live in the free Odyssey
app.
Maybe
I'm too confident.
And now we are broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. I don't think you are too confident. What is your confidence level, Dub Nation, after that win yesterday? Like... what did you have heading into? Because I heard a lot Friday, Thursday, all leading up to it. I was listening to Warriors this week. Evan doing a hell of a job. Dan Devone. Like, I think this could go six games. I think this can go seven games. And I'm saying, I'm not saying after this game that it can't go six.
What did you think heading
in? I think a lot of people were over, like, they were overestimating whatever you're going to look at, like the Rockets offensively.
They were a couple games better than the Warriors. And the Warriors were, they were dog poop for like 3 months. The Warriors were. And they were, the Rockets were a couple of games better than them to end the year. We're not talking about like a 10 or 15. Look, no. Oklahoma City, there's obvious reasons why you should fear them, you know? Boston Celtics.
I think we're overreacting again. I think the media, real quick, I just want to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder because everyone was like, oh, see, I told you about the Thunder. They won 50 points.
Well, Memphis is walking in hobbled.
They're also trying to shove the Oklahoma City Thunder down our throats because they know no one cares nationally about them.
That's wrong.
That is why ESPN is doing that. They're the number one seed. They have the greatest...
why
were
the Warriors the headliner on Easter night?
Exactly.
Because they're going to draw the biggest rating.
Correct.
Not the OKC Thunder.
And the Lakers on Saturday night against the Timberwolves. Yeah. Like, that's like, those are the teams. Like, no one cares.
By the way, the Timberwolves was just...
I know, chefs, because
so
the Warriors fans were loving Anthony
Chris
Edwards
Finch.
Going up. They got a little nervous there when he went down and he went straight to the locker room. I was like, oh, boy. I did, too. I was like, I did not want to see Anthony Edwards get hurt in that game.
No one did.
Looked like it was a cramp, but they were flying high, and I don't think the Lakers have an answer for
well,
the
go
size.
Seven.
Nas Reed, talking about Nas Reed, Warriors killer, talking about Nas Reed, Lakers killer, just crushing him on Saturday. Luka crying the whole game. He was getting his, but it's not going to be enough. Again, we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but that would be the matchup if you're just going by the game one victories. It would be Warriors T-Wolves in the next round, but just worry about your business in this first round, and confidence level is what, Dub Nation? After that win, I mean, my confidence is sky high when I know they're leaning on Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green, and they combined 7 of 34 overall from the field. My guys, Jimmy Butler and Stephen Curry, combined for 56. 56
who
are the old guys.
Who on their team, outside of Şengün, can get their own shot in the half court?
Jabari Smith can, but he shot it 3 times.
And he's coming off the bench.
He's coming off the bench. And I don't know if that's his game. Like, the aggression, I don't know if it's there for him.
Amen, Thompson. We are going to be so far sagged off him. And anytime he puts a ball in the paint, like a dribble into the paint, he's going to get double and triple teamed. And he's going to settle for very tough, contested layups around the rim, period. Like,
there's just so much talk about Amen Thompson last week.
Well, he is. He's a great defender.
Great. He's a rookie, man. Like,
I know, well, that's kind of where I'm going. Where says these playoffs, the regular season, when you could just fly in and you play someone one time and you fly out, and we're not really like, we're just looking at a couple names on a board. When I have a minute to like pare down exactly, this is what you do well. Let's practice this. All right. These are the sets we're going to run. Oh, we know that they can't shoot. We're going to run predominant zone in the middle part of the game, and we're going to dare you to beat us from the outside. Okay, we're going to attack Jalen Green when he's defending Steph Curry. All right, if Şengün is going to lay off of Moses Moody, we have got to punish him. And if he's going to come out and double Steph Curry, Steph, don't take the three-pointer. Knife through the double team and attack the hoop. They did all those things. And I thought situationally, they did a great job just getting the ball to Jimmy Butler and getting the hell out of his way.
888-957-9570. We are reacting to this huge game one victory. Again, snaps a 3-game losing streak in game ones for Steve Kerr. And by the way, speaking of Steve Kerr, he earned his 100th playoff coaching win yesterday, Joe, becoming the 7th head coach in NBA history to reach the milestone. And he accomplished the feat in 141 games, the second fewest in league history behind only Phil Jackson, a guy who coached him, obviously, with the Chicago Bulls. Phil did it in 135 games.
So 100 playoff wins.
In 141 games.
I'm trying to think who would else be on that list. I mean,
you want to do it?
Chuck Daly.
Let's see. Skip that. Obviously, Pop.
Popovich, yes.
Maybe Spoelstra? That's a lot, though.
A lot of wins, man.
It is. We'll look at that. Crack staff in the back. We'll get on
it. A lot of wins.
Appreciate it. Speaking of Steve Kerr, I want to hear from Steve Kerr on talking about his guy, Stephen Curry.
He was incredible, and you know, with that type of pressure on him from Thompson and others, he just made some amazing plays, and obviously carried us offensively along with Jimmy.
He was incredible yesterday, Steph. I just can't stop thinking about that shot. Like, it's almost like you're playing Not a, like if you ever played video games, and I know you've played.
You know,
and again, we're going millennial here, and it's a very, you know, tight niche audience that I'm gravitating towards. But if you ever played like Call of Duty or something, and you get your headset on and you're playing online, and you know you're getting clapped by like a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old. And you're just so damn angry and upset.
You're useless.
Because you can't do anything about it.
That's me in Call of Duty.
That's the feeling that Stephen Curry gives opposing fan bases. Like, are you serious? Like, what the hell? Like, he just headshotted me. He headshotted. Yeah. Like, that's what he was doing. He was going after headshots yesterday.
I couldn't even, when I first...
Insane!
I first played Call of Duty, I couldn't even... I didn't even know what I was doing. I was like this. So you know how you're like, your character's like spinning around. I'm like moving in my chair with the gun up in the air. And I was just like getting sniped left and right. And then I'd respawn.
That was the Houston Rockets defense yesterday.
Then I'd respawn and I get sniped again. And then it was like, it's just, dude, it was so frustrating. I literally couldn't get out of the online play. I was like, I'm done with this game.
And speaking of Steph and speaking about gamers, he was talking about his boy Jimmy Butler in their first playoff game together. He said, Jimmy is a gamer.
He lives for these opportunities. Like, he's a gamer. He, as the stakes rise, his game elevates right there with it. So nothing he does surprises me. It's just all in the spirit of trying to get a win and doing things that, you know, seem special on the surface, which they really are, but he makes look, you know, pretty regular. So it's pretty awesome to have that presence and him make that big play. But he did that all game and has been doing it since he's been here.
I love when the games are on ESPN or TNT because, not that I don't love our local broadcast, but there is something where you get some of the mic'd in sound and some of the B-roll of stuff that's happening off the floor that the normal camera doesn't pick up. There were three things. First, Jimmy pointing at Reggie Miller.
That was awesome.
After hitting that long shot. That was great.
He's only made three, and he's like, you like that?
Yeah.
He's one of the greatest three-point shooters of all time.
It was great. Jimmy reacting to Steph Curry's three-pointer, which was, are you blanking kidding
and
me?
And that's Jimmy Butler, a guy that's been to two NBA finals. And he's still like, are you serious? Just looking around on the bench, like.
Been in some high-level games.
Yes.
And then the third one was when they were breaking down. Someone was shooting a free throw. It was like midway through the second or third quarter. And Steve Kerr is discussing whatever with Jimmy and Steph Curry. And I'm thinking like, dude, look at this collaboration. Look at the brain trust. Think of the brain trust that is in that little huddle. Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, and Jimmy Butler. And you're going up against a Rocket team that has very little playoff experience.
And I think it was in the last couple minutes, or maybe it was the five, but there was another mic'd up moment with Steve Kerr talking to Draymond, Jimmy, and Steph being like, you tired? You tired? You tired? You guys good? And they're all like, yeah, we're good. We're chilling.
I thought Steve did a good job yanking Draymond at a very specific moment in this game, quietly. And I'm not saying he benched him. That's not what I'm saying. I think he just cooled him off a little.
The shove after that? Yes.
He was like, come down. Come sit down. Like, let's relax. Because I'll be honest with you, the one thing that does worry me about this entire series is you can't fall for the bait.
Mm.
The Dylan Brooks is going to do something stupid. Şengün is going to try to get under Draymond's skin. Ime is clearly going to try to do it. Draymond cannot take the bait. He held his own. He didn't fight back. He did the little unnecessary shove or whatever. If he just walks that line and stays on the right side of the path, we should be fine.
What's coming up the game is brought to you by Safeway, 888-957-9570. I mean, what are you taking away from that game that gives you the most confidence? Because for me, and maybe it's just the easiest answer, like, you got Stephen Curry and Jimmy Butler. Sometimes you don't need to overthink it when you have the best play.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Players on your team in a given series, that's genuinely how you win in the playoffs, having the best players. So I want to hear from the fans. I want to hear from the people today. You're 1-0 now, Dub Nation. Let's talk about it. 888-957-9570. It's Spadoni, Chasky's Morning Roast. We're rolling, baby. Can I get a stack of pancakes right now?
I would love some.
A short stack?
Shout out Millbrae Pancake House.
Just any pancakes will do. I can do the microwave bowl runs.
Shout out Jack's.
As far as I'm concerned. Jack's restaurant and bar, I can go for some of those. I don't think our guys Laughing Monk, do they do pancakes? I don't think they do. But you know what? Maybe I'll talk to Sam. Maybe we can collaborate on that.
I'm going to head down there this week.
You are?
Yeah, we're going to figure something out. I think we're going to have a show lunch down there this
week.
Dude,
let's do it. I'm down. Shout out Laughing Monk Brewing.
Paying.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Rumor.
Okay. And is that before or after you do House of Prime Rib with Bonte?
Oh, well, me and Bonte's private, you know, House of Prime Rib for two.
Wait, so you're doing a private dinner and a show dinner? So there's two dinners?
That's awesome. That's so nice. That's so nice of him to do that, Sam. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
No,
Laughing Monk,
for your payment.
Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. By the way, the guest today, because it always says guest promotion on the rundown, because I read the rundowns, guys. I'm locked in on the rundowns.
We'll see.
It's the people. I want to hear from you. 888-957-9570. The amount of people that were worried about this matchup last week, I don't know. They take a pound of flesh. I mean, I don't know what it reminds me of the Kings series a few years ago. It goes seven games. No, I'm not feeling that way at all after yesterday. At a pound of flesh? Please. I mean, the Warriors players, Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond, they were the old guys. They looked young at times. You know who looked old? The Amen Thompsons. The Dylan Brookses. Those guys looked old.
Did you see Sengun and Dylan Brooks crying simultaneously on the bench on the out-of-bounds play? I thought it went off of his thigh. Was it Amen Thompson's or was it Parker? Jabari Smith.
I think it was Jabari Smith there, but it did go off Draymond's hand at the end, but they didn't have any challenges.
I thought it went off his thigh after
and then
the
it
hand.
bounced off the hand. No, his thigh,
I guess
then
I
hand.
Must have missed
that
part. Okay.
But again, that was a big swing for them because that turned into what was a 4-point lead, and then the Warriors get the ball back and they get a Steph 3-pointer.
Yeah.
Turned into a 7-point lead. That was a huge swing for them.
There were a couple Jimmy fouls that were, there was one on Sengun near the like sidelines where it felt like he barely kind of love tapped him and Jimmy kind of like was straddling the out of bounds. Mm-hmm. The Warriors got that call. They got a decent whistle yesterday.
Well, I was going to say,
I will be the first to admit
the officials,
it.
I didn't think were a big part of yesterday's game. I didn't come away from that game saying
there
the
were
officials.
A couple that I thought that if I was on the Houston side, mm-hmm. I would have been a little frustrated. So like the pods one where he went up in the air and they challenged that one.
Oh, yeah.
That could have gone either way to me.
Amen Thompson. Felt like he got there a little late. I think they banged knees.
Pods was like challenging his own play that they already had the call on.
Again, it goes back to Pods. Just every single thing. If it gets stopped or there's a foul call, challenge. I was like, no. Pods, you got the call, dude. Like you don't need to challenge.
Pods
like,
jumps over like five guys at the end of that game and he tips the ball off the backboard. Draymond gets the rebound. He's wide open. Boom, he puts it up for a layup, and Potts is going. He's doing the gladiator, like,
are you not entertained
as he's running down the court. I got a good kick out of that.
I've often compared Brandon Pajemski to Russell Crowe and Maximus Decimus Meridius in my time. Speaking of Potts, this sound courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area. Here he is walking off the court, talking about playing in his first ever playoff game.
It was fun. Obviously, a lot of energy. We're the underdogs, and we will be throughout these playoffs. Obviously, Houston hasn't had a home game or been in the playoffs in a while, so it was electric with the crowd and the environment tonight. But we got veterans that have been there, and then I think our young guys are super mature and act like they've been there. So for me, it was just another game. Obviously, it's more magnitude, but it's just basketball at the end of the day.
I completely disagree, maybe because I wasn't in the building. That crowd and that stadium felt dead the entire time.
Early on, it was loud.
There's a lot of empty seats I saw too, with the shirts on the seats. I was like, eh. I thought it was kind of weak.
But it reminded me of whatever 8, 9, 10 years ago. Let's go Rockets! Dun, dun, dun. Let's go Rockets! They do this like this
very
one,
generic.
It's just so bad.
It's just, again, it felt sterile yesterday for me.
A high level loser, bro.
Like in the amount of times, and I think Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller are still referencing C.J. Stroud being on the sideline talking to Steph, pointing at it. There was about five or six C.J. Stroud references yesterday.
Reggie acting like C.J. Stroud is Mahomes. Like these are two old-time players, as Steph Curry is pointing to him, and he just knows how to rise to the occasion. Look, CJ had a really nice playoff win his rookie year. He hasn't done a lot in the NFL. Like, okay, like, is that a nice little Steph Curry? And what he was like comparing the two.
Right.
Like, they were equals in their sports.
I love CJ,
I know what he was trying
too.
To do, but it was like, come on, Reg. You're reaching.
I give these Houston Rockets about the same chance I gave those Houston Texans against the Kansas City Chiefs. Slim to none. How about that? That's about what I got for them.
Was there a moment in the fourth quarter, especially in the late third quarter, they had a 14-point lead. Did you feel like the game was in the balance at any point when the lead started to evaporate? It became a two-possession game multiple times.
It got close. I still didn't think they had the guy to shoot the ball late to get them over the top, though. Throughout that whole run, I get it. A lot of Warriors fans are getting nervous. I don't view it as that hyper-focused fan. Again, the fan in you, I get it. But for me, I was just taking a step back, looking at it objectively. Like, they don't have the guy to put them over the top.
No.
They just don't. Like, who are you trusting on that team to take the last shot, Joe, for the Houston Rockets? Who do you fear them taking the last shot?
Van Vliet, because he's done it against you before.
But history.
I mean, but listen to what I'm saying.
That was 6 years ago.
Yeah, we're talking about
that was about 6 years ago.
Fred Van Vliet. I mean, yeah. How many players in the league would I name before I got to him league-wide?
And again, I will respect the high-level moments he's had in the playoffs, but that was against, you know, the Warriors 6 years ago. And that was a different team. Yeah. That was a Raptors team that had, you know, the likes of, you know, Kawhi Leonard at a time.
Watch.
Or they had who's my guy that's over in the Pacers?
Serge Ibaka.
Well, I can't even think of the guy that's
Norman Powell.
Siakam. There you go. Pascal Siakam, who's I was trying to think.
Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
They
big win for them, by the way, the Pacers, over the weekend.
You know, Joe, I don't want to harp on it too much because they're going to have to make some adjustments. But I looked at some of the lineups down the stretch, and I didn't love some of the combinations. So to me, I think part of the feeling out process of a 7-game series is, hey, this is working, this isn't working. And what's working in game one might not work come game 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? So you're always tinkering, but they're up 14, 16, back and forth. It's a Jimmy, Buddy Hield, Looney, GP2, Steph lineup. And it just felt kind of clunky. Mm. Okay. It just felt kind of clunky. Then they sub out GP2, and they sub out Steph Curry. And it was very briefly. This is 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. It's 55-68 when they sub him out. Now, again, it's very quick. You have Gee, Looney, Jimmy, Pods, Hield. That's a no-no for me.
Yikes.
That's a no-no. I'll say it again. Gee, Looney, Jimmy, Pods, and Hield. It was... You had multiple possessions, all right? And look, it was quick. He only did it for about a minute. And then he subs in Quinn Post. So at one point to end the third quarter, you had Post, Looney, which I'm not mad at him for trying two bigs.
Mm-hmm.
Post, Looney, Jimmy, Pods, Hield. And that was just a giant dud of a lineup. Now, maybe you go back to it. I don't know. But immediately he subs in Steph Curry and Gui Santos and yanks out Buddy Hield and Kevon Looney to kind of finish that third quarter. It's 60-69, and I'm thinking to myself, this is a rock fight. This first couple of minutes of this fourth quarter are extremely important to me, extremely important. They start the fourth quarter post Dre, Steph, GP2, Pods. And that wasn't great either, even though they got up to a 10-point lead. They sub Jimmy back in, and with the Jimmy lineup, so it's Jimmy, Dre, Steph, GP2, Pods, it becomes a 73-76 game in basically 5 minutes.
Yep. It was a slow burn for sure, and I think it was just painful to watch because most of it was just self-inflicted. They were forcing things they didn't need to force. They were careless. They couldn't get, I was mentioning Buddy Butterfingers. I was like, they couldn't get the loose balls, and they needed them to continue possessions. And again, credit the Houston Rockets. They're really good defensively. Like, that is something they're going to hang their hat on.
Yes.
They're not going to get punked in any of these games. They just can't shoot the ball.
No.
Like, that's my biggest takeaway from that game yesterday. And what's yours at 888-957-9570? We're going to get to Dominic and Berkeley here in just a second.
I want to give Steve Kerr credit. As clunky as those lineups were to end the third, with 7 minutes to go, he subs Moses Moody back in, and I thought, that's the play. Because GP2 rushed a three-pointer in the corner, which I know why he thinks he's got to take that shot. It's a little early in the shot clock for me, and I just, whatever.
He was the only Warrior, if you're doing plus-minus, in the minus category, he was a minus 10. But I didn't think he was a minus 10 as a player yesterday at GP2.
But again, it's a tight game, and that's why I want to bring this up. Moody gets subbed in for GP2. It's 73-76, all right? He immediately hits a jump shot on a late shot clock situation, a 14-footer. And then Curry hits a sweet three-pointer. And then Moody gets a huge rebound. And then they end up, like, turning it over. But Moody was a very big player down the stretch. And then with under 4 minutes to go, he hits a three-pointer in the corner, which, again, it kind of propelled them. I don't think you're getting that from GP2. And I want to give Kerr credit for playing Moody in that spot because I felt like they needed some offense. And I'm really happy for Moses Moody to, A, get an opportunity to get back in there, and then, B, make the most of that opportunity. Those are big shots for him. And if they're going to go anywhere, Moody's got to find his shot.
And his first ever playoff start, too, for Moses Moody as well as Brandon Pajemski. And they showed up big time, big moments yesterday. And that's one of the question marks heading into the series and really what the playoffs is going to be for this team. That's going to be the question. Can those other guys step up? Because we saw what Jimmy's going to do. We saw what Steph's going to do. Draymond, can he give you anything scoring? Only 4 points for him yesterday. You got to think he's going to have a game in this series at some point where he gets the ball and he can score a little bit more. Again, Pajemski, Moody. Is there going to be a Quentin Poe situation? Gui Santos here or there. Buddy, again, only 2 points for Buddy Hield yesterday. He needs to hit some of these threes. He was 0 for 2 yesterday. And he's got to think that's baked in the equation at some point in this series and going forward. If they're going to go anywhere where they want to go, Joe,
exactly.
Those guys have got to step up offensively.
They absolutely have to. And I'm really happy for Moses Moody because, you know, he has not shot the ball well over like a pretty big sample.
Still really hasn't, but he hit big shots yesterday. Well, he did. Yes.
Those are confidence builders.
Yeah.
Those are huge for him. And I think that it could have easily been him getting iced out down the stretch. And I want to give Kerr credit because, again, I didn't love some of the combinations.
I know you didn't.
To end the third. And like in the fourth, you were playing your best lineup, that GP2 Pods, Dre, Jimmy, Steph lineup, and it wasn't performing. He subbed in Moses Moody, and then instantly he rewarded him with hitting some big shots. And I think that those are big building blocks for him.
Dominic Berkeley. Good morning, Dominic.
What's up, Dominic?
How are we feeling about that win yesterday? What's your confidence level looking like, Dominic, after a huge 95-85 win to go up 1-0 in this series? Good morning.
Let me tell you this, man. We all are excited, but honestly, you know, the Rockets is not the number two seed, man. They wind up getting there.
They are, but
I think between what was happening with the Warriors, Timberwolves, it's a sleeper team to me. That's the team that they have to watch out for. You know, we have to allow Kerr to go ahead and play this chess match, man, because it's all matchup. Look what happened when they put Adams in there. I mean, he was just
killing them.
Okay, they're going to go ahead and make the adjustments, man. I just think that everybody needs to calm down. Steph, Draymond, Jimmy, they've been there. And those guys are going to come through, man. They're not going to always hit all the shots, but in the moments that they really need it, they're going to hit them, man. And
so what are we calming down? I'm a little confused. What are we calming down? The excitement or calming down the negativity? I'm a little confused.
I'm talking about I'm listening to you guys. I don't like what Kerr does, the matchups, and it's a chess match, man. It's just really a chess match, and everybody just have to calm down and let Kerr go ahead and do what he does. Yeah. I mean, the guy has. I mean, he won 100 games, man. Just,
hey, Dominic, were we trashing Steve Kerr at all today? I don't think we are. Are you watching people do that after yesterday's win?
No. It's not a trash. Everybody's just expressing the dislikes and likes of some of the movements and some of the starters and stuff like that. All I got to say, man, is we need to be proud of the Warriors. Since Jimmy has got here, man, it's a whole new different dynamic. Everything worked out the way that it was supposed to work out. I'm glad that they fell in the seventh seed. Mm-hmm. Just think if they had won, it would be totally different right now.
Well, I would agree with you also on the Timberwolves. Like, look, we got our eyeball on that matchup because that would be who the Warriors play.
Correct.
Now.
That was so the Warriors and T-Wolves, the only road teams to win in Game One over the weekend. The only two road teams. The Clippers probably they tricked it off. I thought they should have won that game, but they didn't. Credit the Nuggets,
so
who are champions.
We're not playing both of those.
That's going to be a dogfight of a series. Yeah. That's the one where actually OKC is probably looking like, oh, great. Yeah. You two just go at each other.
Yeah.
We'll pick up the scraps and blow you guys out in game one again.
But here's the thing. They have a lot of veterans in both, like the Clippers and the Nugs. And I don't want to get too deep in, but there's a lot of veterans on the court for both teams.
Yep.
Both teams. And like,
a lot of high playoff
Zubac,
minutes. Yep.
He's been in the league a long time. You know what I mean? Like a lot of those guys on both sides know how to win games in the playoffs. So, we'll get to that, but that Laker-Minnesota matchup would be who the Warriors would face. We got to get through Houston, though.
Was that the most surprising of the weekend, probably, what Minnesota did to the Lakers? Were you surprised by that?
I actually thought Orlando putting up the fight that they did against Boston was
the final score doesn't indicate how close that game was and tight.
Exactly.
Paolo looked sick. I love Paolo Banchero.
Well, I mean, Tatum hurt his wrist. You know, that's something to monitor. Mm-hmm. You know, so like
Knicks Pistons was fun. That was a good one. That was a dogfight.
Yeah.
It's just fun seeing Detroit again. They were so awful this last, decade plus. They actually have hope. So, again, I know round one, in game one weekends of, the NBA playoffs, it's not the same as super wild card weekend.
No.
And it's not even close.
But that win for the Warriors was a shot across the bow because you had the opportunity. Think about it this way. Had they lost that game, how big of a wow, you had this one in your hands and you lost it. Now I got it. We got to find our way.
What a suck.
Fight back and win game two. Now it's like house money. And I think all the pressure now goes directly to the Houston Rockets. And obviously the Warriors are going to have to make certain adjustments to slow them down. I'm just not sure what their offensive adjustments are to free things up. Warriors are going to stay in multiple zones throughout the bulk of the second, third quarters. And I don't know where they're going to get shots from.
Well, we had, who was it? Adam Wexler, who joined us last week. He does the pre and post for the radio side for Houston Rockets. He joined Bonte and I. And he said the series is going to come down to Jalen Green. If Jalen Green can score efficiently, the Rockets can win this series. Well, we saw what it was in game one. 3 of 15 in 31 minutes for Jalen Green. 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. 7 points. A big fat poo-poo.
So
it was horrible.
Let me give you his last 5 games, okay? Now, a Warrior game is in there where he scored 21. His best game ever against the Warriors. He played the Clippers, he scored 5 points. He played the Lakers, he scored 7 points. He played Denver, he scored 2 points. He played the Warriors in this game one. He scored 7 points.
And those are all Western Conference
teams. Exactly.
Contenders. Like, those are all big boy veteran
sophisticated
teams.
Sophisticated veteran teams that know what you want to do.
Correct.
This is not the Utah Jazz.
No. And, well, Dominic did say something about them being like the 2 seed and like saying like, well, they're not really the 2 seed. I did kind of feel like that
what
watching yesterday. Because, again, on paper, they are the 2 seed. And I'm going to give them credit for because they had to take the regular season seriously. A lot of these teams, like the Lakers, for example. Not that they don't. I'm not trying to say they don't take the regular season seriously, but it's not the end-all, be-all.
No, they're setting themselves up because they know the most important time is right now.
The Warriors, Clippers.
Celtics.
Celtics. Like, and again, the Celtics and Cavs I'll push away because they can win no matter what because they have the depth and the talent to do so.
Yeah, but it's not like the Celtics were fighting tooth and nail for months on end.
No, they weren't. But they do have youth on their side with their two best players, too. Like, sure. I'll look at the Warriors and the Lakers in particular. They have a lot of older guys as they're kind of their best players, albeit Luka is now there with LeBron. Yeah,
they're in, like, chief mode.
They can cruise at times. So, and a young team, a team that's trying to prove themselves, is going to take the regular season a bit more seriously at times, and they are younger and fresher, and they're going to win. So by virtue of all of that, they are the two seed. But I kind of heard Dominic where it's like, kind of fraudulent. A little bit. A little bit. I felt like they were a fraudulent two seed watching that game yesterday. I did.
Well, again, the regular season is different from the playoffs. Like, the regular season is just its own unique... You're playing 82 games. You don't play the same opponent in back-to-back games. You're flying in and out. And then you get into the regular season, right? I mean, the playoffs, excuse me. You get into the playoffs, and it's seven games against the exact same team. We get to adjust. We get to practice. There's days off in between. It could not be more different, regular season to playoffs. Like, at least in baseball, you play three-game set against this team, a four-game set against that team, a three-game set against that team. And so a seven-game series... There is some semblance of that throughout the regular season. The NBA regular season is all over the place.
Right.
And then you get into the playoffs, and it's a complete... It's officiated different.
Yep.
It's played different. The practice level is different. The planning is different. The rotations are different. Like, everything about it is different. So, yeah, it doesn't resemble the regular season at all.
888-957-9570. Same number to call or text. The Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Your confidence level after that game is what? And also, Dub Nation, Jimmy Butler is a Golden State Warrior. Again,
what a game.
25 points.
What a game.
6 assists, 5 steals.
How many rebounds?
7 for him, but 3 offensive, which felt huge.
Yeah.
Like every single... And real quick... The offensive rebound disparity in this game. This is another thing. If I'm the Houston Rockets waking up this morning and I'm a Rockets fan, it's like, man, we dominated the glass. We out-rebounded them 22, offensive rebounded them 22-6. We had 22 offensive.
But I thought that the Warriors,
we had 22 offensive rebounds. It wasn't enough.
Read me off the guard rebounding totals for the Warriors, because I thought Pods, Curry, GP2. I thought they did a really good job on the loose balls.
Steph had 6 defensive rebounds. Pods had 7 defensive rebounds. That's 13. Draymond Green, obviously, 5.
How about Buddy?
Buddy Hield, he had 1. Quinn Post had 1. Guy Santos had 1. I know guards you're looking for. Yeah. Gary Payton had 3.
Okay.
So there you go. So, but they did.
I mean, that's 15 from your guards. Like, that's a really good game plan. And then I just look at, like, guard production for Houston. If Van Fleet and Green are going to play that way, they have no chance. They have no chance.
What gives you more confidence? I'll ask this question. Was it the combination of Stephen Curry and Jimmy Buckets yesterday combining for 56 points? Or was it that defensive performance? Because for me, like, I get it. Those two are special. That was awesome. It was their first playoff game together. I'm going away from that game saying that interior defense that they showed against that long, big, athletic team that can't shoot the ball. Like, that is what I'm coming away with. They held them to 85 points yesterday, Joe. That is their lowest of the season for Houston scoring the ball. 85 points, and that's the lowest they've held an opponent all season long to the Warriors.
And the first half was the least that they had given up all year.
Dude, they held them to 34 points.
It was
34. I was watching 2001 NBA basketball again.
I thought it was the Pistons.
Right?
I thought it was
Ben Wallace and Co.
I said to you guys, and I couldn't believe I said this. I go, 87 is going to win this game. I think I said that at the start of the fourth quarter. And you guys all looked at me like I could feel
it's like this didn't respond. No, like, we didn't.
These guys think I'm an idiot. No. I'm like, no, I really think 87 points wins this game.
And you had Jimmy Butler and Stephen Curry, and then you had the big shots from Moses Moody again. Like, you have the greatest shooter in the history of the sport on your team, and they're throwing out Fred VanVleet. I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep coming back to that. It is what it is.
But the other aspect to this is that the Warriors can shoot better when it comes to the ancillary.
Yes.
Quinton could have a moment, or at least a quarter. Buddy, God, can his buddy just do something?
He did. They are not going to be facing, if they advance, of defense, I believe, this ferocious and this physical going forward.
Right, and so I think Post, I would give Post another opportunity, run it back. You got, let him shoot. He's got to keep shooting, and I think he needs to be aggressive. Buddy can hit a bucket. I need Potts to stay confident. We need Moody to build off what he did in that fourth quarter, because I think if he can get to about 10 to 12 points, we're looking a lot better. GP2, continue to stay aggressive. If they can get contributions from the others, to me, the magic number is 100. If they're around 100 points, they're going to win every one of these games against the Rockets. It's when they're bottled up and Steph's not scoring and Jimmy's not scoring, and then the others, it becomes more imperative that they have to contribute. I don't know if they can get that done. If it's in the 90s, in the 80s, that favors the Rockets. If you can be around 100, get the brooms ready.
And speaking of that, holding the team to 85 points, Steve Kerr was damn proud of it.
You know, they're the best team in the league in the possession game. You know, they got 11 more shots than we did tonight as a result of all those offensive boards. Now, we're going to turn them over, too. You know, and our defense is excellent. I mean, we just held a hell of a team to 85 points on their home floor. So our defense is big time, and we're going to count on that. But we've got to recognize that we don't need to take chances in this series. We need to be clean with our execution and transition. We don't need to dribble through traffic. We don't need to throw lob passes, to try to get a dunk. We've got to be rock solid. And if we're smart and tough, then I think we're going to be in good shape.
And that is exactly what I came away thinking yesterday. Smart and tough, relying on your veterans and them setting the tone. That is what you need in a game one to calm the Moody's, the Pajemskis, Quentin Post, who did look shaky at times. All those guys. Hell, Buddy Hield did too. Buddy Hield, it's not like he has a whole lot of playoff experience. He doesn't. He was playing for the Kings for most of his career, for Christ's sake, right? Like, and the New Orleans Pelicans. Like,
I took so much. I couldn't believe how much happiness I took out of watching the Kings
They're
lose.
Awful. Though the Kings fans were probably not enjoying themselves watching that Golden State Warriors performance last night. Kyle Draper. Kumi Los Altos wants to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570. Kumi, how are we feeling about yesterday's win? Big win.
Let's go, Dubs. Awesome win. A couple points I want to make about the game. We were in the bonus with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, and we would not drive. They were just giving us the threes. I thought now the perfect time to have post up Butler and just get some buckets. We went on a hold spell when we're up 20. And I cannot believe Kerr can't get Kuminga some minutes. In the perfect time, Shasky had a great point. When Steven Adams and Şengün are in there together, I mean, Looney, Adams is like a bigger Looney. Looney can't do anything against Adams. He's a better rebounder than Looney. And Looney was in the corner a couple times, and Adams was guarding him. Like, you don't think Kuminga could drive on Steven Adams and take it to the bucket and then dish off or have a basket for himself? I just think Kuminga needs some minutes. I think he can get some easy buckets in transition and help him rebounding, because he can at least jump with these guys. And we were getting killed on the boards. But I think the Warriors will be winning in 5 or 6. I don't think Curry or Butler can play any better. They played amazing. Curry was just crazy good. And Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green are going to play a little better. So we need the rest of the cast to step up. And
Kumi,
I love it though.
Hey Kumi, you all right? You're heavy breathing. You walking or something? Doing a hike this morning?
Oh,
what you doing?
Man, I was just doing wind sprints and burpees, trying to get on the bomb with you guys.
Wow, look at this guy. Kumi, he's setting the tone. I love that. Thank you, Kumi. 888-957-9570. Yeah, JK. Like again, they won the game. Will they need him at any point this series? Maybe if the Rockets win one or two and they give him a look that they haven't seen before, and maybe you throw him out there. Again, Anthony Slater tweeted this yesterday. He covers the team, 95.7 The Game, Warriors Insider. He tweeted this: expectation is that Jonathan Kuminga will be out of the Warriors' initial game one rotation entering this Rockets series. He looms as an in-game or in-series adjustment. So we'll see if it'll be an adjustment, if Steve Kerr will go to him. There might be a moment where they go to him. But yesterday, they didn't need him. They didn't need him yesterday. No, I don't know what you want from me.
No, yeah. I hear you. But there is like Looney is going to be trusted, right? We understand why. Look, Looney's a...
He's a made man.
Exactly. Exactly. But there is a reality of, like, for him to stay on the floor, he's got to bring something to the table, yeah. Right? You can't just be a trusted guy in these series.
He couldn't get rebounds yesterday. Well,
so I think that for me, the big issue is, all right, they had the last game of the year against the Clippers. Now, again, this is a small sample, but 16 minutes, he's a minus three. 16 minutes, he had 3 rebounds and 6 points against Zubac. He was better than the numbers would indicate, but 3 rebounds isn't great for 16 minutes for a big in this offense
right. And
in this defense. And then against Memphis, he's a minus 11. He only has 1 rebound and 2 points in only 10 minutes. He plays 10 minutes essentially in this game. He's a plus 4, 1 rebound, 0 points. I don't care about plus, minus, rebounding. He's got a rebound, right? And so that's where I would say, all right, if he's not going to score, he has to rebound. He just has to.
I mean, and the guy that you would go to before Kuminga, and I think is more trusted at this point, would be a Quentin Post, who's got the size. But again, he was getting abused defensively yesterday. It's a tough matchup for him. And if he's not shooting the ball,
then he's not shooting the ball.
Like, that's the thing. You're talking about shooting the ball, and you need to be able to do that. And again, I think
you
got to
stretch Adams out of the paint.
Okay, and our boy Kumi was talking about it. Like, there was a moment yesterday where Kevon Looney was all by himself behind the 3-point line in the corner there. Just no one was around him.
This is the lineup, and I love Loon.
I kind of wanted him to just shoot it. To be
honest, him and GP2 on the floor together, it's really tough. It's just really tough. So that's why, I'm not saying that TJD is the end all be all. I'd probably give Post a look. I'd give TJD a minute. Just give him a minute. Let's see, especially when Steven Adams in. Let's see what it looks like. And if it's bad, hey, yank him back off. Nothing lost. Maybe it's Gee. Maybe it's a small ball five and you go with Gee. Maybe it is Kuminga, a small ball five. I don't love the Looney-Steven Adams matchup because I don't think you're punishing them. You need to punish them for playing Steven Adams, meaning you need to attack him on defense. If you're not going to get rebounds when they're on offense.
Let's go to E in San Jose, wants to join in the conversation, 888-957-9570. Good morning, E. You're on Spadoni and Chasky. What you got, man?
Spadoni, Chasky, how you guys doing this morning?
What's up, buddy?
Great.
I wanted to talk about Draymond's discipline in Game 1. They were obviously trying to mess with him, but they were using other guys rather than whatever the hell his name is. I can't remember.
Shane Gunn or Dylan Brooks.
Baby Brates. Brooks, thank you. They were using Shingun. They were doing it where Draymond would usually blow up, but he walked away. Like he gave him a little shot and then he walked away, which is not something Draymond usually does. And if he keeps his head, I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to get no technicals. Let's be honest here. Let's put the over under at 2 for the series, but 1.5. We'll give him 1.5. If he keeps his head and doesn't get into those altercations, I think they'll be fine. They need somebody else to step up if they start messing with Steph, because you know they are. Dylan Brooks is already marking him and keeping his hand on him all the way down the court. So I just wanted to make sure everybody understands that if Draymond keeps his head, we're going to be all right. Thank you, boys. I'll take my answer off there.
No, I'm 100% with you. What did I text you guys in the thread? I go, Dre's just got to control himself.
Yep.
I could feel the flagrant coming.
Oh, you know Ime Udoka at some point in the series is going to antagonize him and try to go after him.
But I also thought that Steve Kerr, and this is the brilliance of Kerr, he actually said, all right, no. Draymond, come sit down. Let's cool off. I need to take you out of the game. I think in times past,
right.
He would kind of let Dre play through those things, and you could see the flagrant or the tech coming, and it's avoidable. And I thought that Kerr did a really good job kind of calming down Draymond Green in that opportunity. And I give Draymond credit. Draymond did stay concerted. He had a hard foul on Dylan Brooks where Dylan went crashing in to GP2. That could have gotten testy.
Right.
And I still believe like their game plan is going to be get under Draymond's skin. And it's incumbent on him to just let it go.
Absolutely. I think we're going Zion I here. Don't lose your head. That's the theme for Draymond Green. It's a great song. Carter knows it. He's nodding in approval. He's a married man. He's doing great.
Song,
yeah. Zion I, don't lose your head. Look it up. It's a great one.
I know Zion I.
You don't know that song, Shasky?
Yeah, it's all-time beat. Come back with it at one point.
I will.
Thank you. Well, you might have to
play my Jimmy Mac. It's Jimmy time, dude.
Hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy Mac.
Greatest Jimmy in the history of Bay Area sports? You're looking at me like it's not even like I offended you.
I mean, Jimmy Johnson's a Hall of Famer for the Niners. I mean, you guys are all way too young, number 37.
Well, Jimmy Butler's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, look, this guy actually has his jersey retired for the 49ers.
Well, if Jimmy Butler completes this whole damn thing, he's definitely going to have his jersey retired.
He might be. There's no doubt.
He might be. Jaime is in San Carlos. Before we get to the injury report, I want to get Jaime in here. 888-957-9570. Your biggest takeaway, Jaime, from yesterday's win was what? Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Joe and Joe, how are you?
What's
I'm
that?
In a great mood. Just got back from Maui.
Oh, nice. You're feeling awesome.
Did you stay in Kanapali?
White Lotus?
I did, brother. I did. And you know what the funny part is? At the resorts that we stayed at, I saw Zach, the quarterback, or the ex-quarterback of the Jets there with his with his girlfriend and his mom and family there.
Wait, Zach Wilson?
Zach Wilson. He looks like a regular dude.
Yeah.
I was like, you're not even that big.
Was his girlfriend over the age of 50?
No, okay. she was young, but
okay.
the reason why I
spell the rumors
because I saw his I know I saw his mom, which was she was smoking.
Continue, Jaime. Where we got
you
on this?
You're the one who led him down this path.
I know. Okay. So my biggest takeaway is the Warriors played a gritty, grimy game that they normally lose by scoring that low. If they're going to bring in Adams and some of these bigs, put those bigs in pick and rolls and wear them down.
Exactly.
By the third and fourth quarter, they'll be done.
I totally agree.
So I say Warriors in five or six, but let me know what you guys think.
Right now?
At this point, six feels like a disappointment, which sounds actually kind of arrogant, but honestly, it's how I feel after that game.
I'm with you. I'm in the 5-4 mode right now. 5-4. They win game two, it's a wrap.
It's over. Like Saram?
Yeah, it's
a
wrap.
888-957-9570. We're going to continue this conversation. This show is flying by. When the Warriors win, well, hell, when the Warriors lose, it always flies by anyways. It's a game day reaction, and it's an all-day reaction here on 95.7 The Game. Don't go anywhere else. It's Joe Spadoni. It's Joe Shassi. We got Steiny and Goo. We got Willard Nibs. We got it all the action, all postseason long, right here on 95.7 The Game. 95-85 the final. Your biggest takeaway, your confidence level. Like, I'm coming away from that game. You could go Jimmy Butler. You could go Stephen Curry. I'm going team defense was stifling yesterday. Everyone was talking about the Rockets defense. Can we give the flowers to the Warriors defense yesterday?
They ran a 1-3-1, a 2-3, a 3-2. They did man-to-man. They doubled Şengün. He had five turnovers.
I mean, we talk about it. Since the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, this has been one of, if not the best team defensively in the NBA. Let's give them their flowers too, man. Injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm.
The Rockets coming out to play
for over 40 years.
They did not come out to play yesterday, at least offensively. The Giants, though, they did. Well, lost to their last three. They come back down to earth. It's just, I wasn't very happy about that blown save yesterday for Ryan Walker. By the way, that was not a very encouraging throw from one Willie Adames. Maybe he'll be better next time.
We'll see.
But speaking of the Giants, they had to make their first in-season roster move of 2025 over the weekend, placing infielder Casey Schmidt on the injured list with a left oblique strain. Sometime Schmidt happens, if you will. He injured the oblique, taking swings in the batting cage before Friday night's game. No timetable is available for his absence. David Villar was called up to replace Schmidt. And to make room for Villar on the 40-man roster, Herrera Encarnacion was added to the 60-day IL. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years, Joe.
If you had an oblique in the MLB, the average DL time, IL, whatever they call it now, is 30 days.
Wow. Well, so, it's the amount of torque and swing. Like, you can't, like, it's not like the NFL with certain positions where they can get through it. It's a brutal injury. Have you ever had one? You ever strained your oblique? You've hurt everything in your body. Okay.
Yes.
It's a tough one.
It's tough to sleep. It's tough to breathe. Laugh. Yeah, you can't throw. You can't hit.
Man.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Hey, you're in trouble. Well, hopefully Casey is on the mend quickly. What's coming on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Halfway home here on a Reaction Monday. Warriors 95. Rockets 85. We're breaking it all down. It's Spadoni and Shasky. Come on back. 95.7 The Game.